to just pray. My busy brain was extremely difficult. The scripture that finally snapped me out of it that says, when you shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I had a broken heart, and that's what it says is required to pray.
Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hey, you made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled How to Pray with ADHD. Thank you so much for your positive testimonials and reviews for this podcast. I know that you have one in you. You can do it. I believe in you. We have not had one for a couple of months. And once again, your podcast reviews make such a difference. When people come to this podcast and they see the positive reviews and the stars and your personal insights as to why this has impacted your life, they are more likely to listen. And when we have more ADHDers and busy brains listening to this podcast, there is more good happening in this world. This podcast episode is amazing. I'm so excited for you to listen to it. It is a subject that I've been wanting to delve into for a while, and having another person was a lot of fun talking it through. So let's hop into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. Today we get to talk about ADHD and prayer and have an awesome guest. Her name is Larissa Cannon. And Larissa reached out to me maybe about a month ago or so. 2 months ago, letting me know that she had recently decided she's going to send out a survey all about having neurodivergent brain, having ADHD, and how that impacts prayer as well as scripture study. And I got very excited, very, very excited. I said, please make sure that you send me the results. I'm really interested to see what you found out. And she did. She sent him back over to me, and then I started preparing this podcast, and I was like, I can't do this without Larissa. This was her project, number one. These are her people, number two. And number three, I need someone to bounce ideas off of. I want to know what you saw, because this was your intention in the first place. So Larissa, thank you so much for being here and for being willing to come talk about this on the podcast.
No, it's my pleasure, and I really thank you for helping me get this to a point where we've got some shareable content to help people out there that might be pondering these same questions about ADHD and prayer and scripture study and what that looks like.
And they are guaranteed. Even if they don't know that they are, like consciously, they are subconsciously for sure. Will you let us know a little bit about your own ADHD journey, diagnosis, and kind of what led you to the survey?
Yeah, sure. My ADHD diagnosis came in about May of 2022. I was pregnant with our fifth child, and I thought I had prenatal depression. And it got to the point where I looked around at my house and what a mess it was. And the moment that scared me was when I realized I did not feel like myself at all. I felt completely disconnected from who I was, the things that brought me joy. And I looked at my house and felt completely incapable of doing anything about it. And that dysfunction scared me enough into reaching out for some help. So that's when I decided to seek professional help. And I was lucky enough, after a few phone calls, I probably called 4 or 5 people, found Dr. Elise Jones, and was able to. She prioritized my appointment because she says she does that with her patients who are pregnant. It's so critical that they get the help as soon as they need it. And so she made time in her schedule. We spent probably, I don't know, like 2 hours on a Saturday in a virtual call. She talked through my experience of growing up. I mean, we talked about all different parts of my life. And at the end, she said, I think this might surprise you, but I'm going to diagnose you with ADHD. And it did surprise me. Extremely shocking. That was not on my radar whatsoever. But as we walked down the path of getting help, I did choose to start medication at that time. And it's led me on a journey where it's only confirmed, as I've learned more about myself, it's only confirmed the fact that, yeah, you do have an ADHD brain.
Yeah.
And I'm learning how to love my brain and work with it and deal with the parts that it struggles with. And it's been a journey, but one I'm grateful to be on. So
amazing. And what's even more amazing about this is that I did an interview with Dr. Jones like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the fact that that's who you went to, I did not even know that, you know? So this is just another small world, like hoorah, hoorah for women's mental health done correctly, understood through the context of women's bodies. And you're like the living, breathing testimonial for that podcast. So it's great, unintentionally. And you're an engineer.
Yeah, I went to BYU, and it's funny, I did really well in school. You would have never thought that I had ADHD necessarily, at least in the typical sense of what traditionally people picture it as. My very limited understanding of ADHD was that it's just a small child, elementary school age, who just can't sit still in their desk. And I have learned that it affects our lives in so many different ways, and it manifests in different ways, you know, executive function struggles and things like that. So yeah. My understanding of it is growing.
And yet she still was willing and able to ask you about your childhood and your teenage years and your young adult years. And you were still able to, I'm sure, find evidence of ADHD in those times, regardless of your academic super performance, I guess.
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which is really important. And a lot of people say, well, you grow out of it, or they say, well, it just came on suddenly. And that is not true. Sometimes trauma will look like ADHD, you know, the symptoms will look like ADHD. But an ADHD diagnosis has to be consistent for most of your life. And so it's not always in one place, like you're saying, academics, for example. For me, academics were very, very difficult. That's how mine manifests. But it's not a one-size-fits-all diagnosis. Yeah. So I love that. So then what led you to want to do the survey?
Yeah, good question. I noticed that as I was struggling to deal with these symptoms, unmanaged symptoms of ADHD, especially during pregnancy, even with medication, it was still hard. I noticed that my prayers were really being impacted. And I was sort of at this block of, I cannot seem to pray, to just pray, to take the time to pause. In my day with my busy brain was extremely difficult. The scripture that finally snapped me out of it. I mean, I'd been on a streak of not praying for a long time for me, which was scary to me because prayer's been a part of my life, but it had sort of lost its effectiveness because I didn't feel able to do it. And so a scripture came to mind one night while I was pregnant, Ether chapter 4, verse 15, that says, when you shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That scripture came to mind. Sorry, this was a big moment for me, but I realized in that moment that I had the broken heart. That's about all I had in that moment. I didn't feel capable of offering very much to the Lord in that moment, but I had a broken heart, and that's what it says is required to pray, or one of the things that we can bring to the Lord. And when I felt like I had something to offer him, my broken heart, that if I could just humble myself and have that contrite spirit, that he would be there to listen to my prayer and that I could do it. And that's what finally got me on my knees again. And I've been trying to improve my prayers ever since.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that really sacred and special moment with us. I'm curious, when you said that you just couldn't pray, do you feel like that was like an executive function type of thing that's happening? Do you feel like there was a mental block in terms of, I have to pray because it has to look a certain way? What did that sound like in your mind or feel like in your mind?
Yeah, all of the above. I felt like my mind was spinning and I could not slow my brain down long enough to pray. And I also had really rigid expectations for myself of what prayer looked like. And I did not feel capable of meeting those rigid expectations for prayer. Things like, it happens at a certain time of day. I have to be on my knees next to my bed. It has to be the first thing I do in the day. Otherwise, it doesn't count. Or things like that. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, for teaching me that. Just somehow I had developed that expectation in my head, and it was becoming a real barrier to me building a relationship with Christ.
Yeah, sometimes we take the scaffolding that's there to kind of help us have like a footstool, like to help us, and then it becomes a hindrance, right? It becomes something that's in our way as we develop and learn and grow. And I love that. I often talk about Fowler's, I can't remember, it's called spiritual development or something, but essentially there comes a point where the things that you were taught that were helpful for so long no longer have the same oomph to you, right? And so you have to relook at them through the lens of a more developed brain and an experienced person. And a lot of the time we come to the exact same conclusions. Prayer is important, right? And communicating with God is important. But the way that we actually go about doing that and allowing that flexibility in our brain for it to look different, sound different, be not just one way, it gives us the permission to finally then access divinity. And I hear you saying that, and it's so beneficial for our listeners to understand that. This was another really cool part that I have actually started to see in all books of scripture that we use, is the necessity for us to be able to get out of our head and into our body in order to access divinity. When it talks about us having stiff necks in the gospel and in the scriptures, when it talks about having blind eyes and hard hearts, it's like this impenetrable ability to enter our body from our brain. And with ADHD, when we are spiraling and we are spinning, I found in my own life, as well as my clientele, and your scripture and ether is perfect for this, is that we are so in our head that we forget that we are a person with many systems in our body and many ways to feel and many ways to experience life. And so I love that the scriptures show that when we have a broken heart that's not hardened, or a softened heart, sometimes the scriptures will say, that we are no longer relying upon our brain to make sense of the commandment or our brain to make sense of the communion with God, but we are opening our full body, everything below our earlobes, in addition to our brain, to then connect and be given, surrendered to God. And that means faith, because the rational brain gives us reasons. And I love that you're an engineer. So it's like, give me reasons, show me the math, show me the other side of the equal sign, show me that everything, like, that's all cerebral, that's all upstairs. And yet when we connect with God, it's a combination of the head and the heart working together. And I don't think it was by chance that that was the scripture that reminded you of your body, that reminded you of the heart is what leads the communication. So beautiful. Really cool.
I love that.
Living with ADHD can be a daily challenge, but there's hope. I'd like to introduce you to Mindful, my ADHD group coaching program, a lifeline for those navigating the complexities of ADHD. At Mindful, we provide you with valuable tools to manage ADHD symptoms, emotional support and understanding, and a non-judgmental community that gets what you're going through. We focus on enhancing your self-awareness, developing coping strategies, and nurturing your emotional well-being. Join a diverse, open-minded group of ADHD adults where you're never alone on this journey. Mindful is here to support you. Visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful today to start your path toward a more mindful life.
Let's talk about this survey.
Yeah, my suspicion was that maybe there's others out there that are doing it differently, and maybe they've figured out how to make this work for them. Or maybe they have the same questions that I do, and we can help each other. And so I just felt really strongly that I needed to put this survey together. And I sat on the idea for, I don't know, a month or two, and finally decided, the prompting came again, like, no, you need to send this out. And I think what was holding me back is I didn't know where it would lead. I didn't have an end goal in mind. I just knew that I needed to do it. Oh, yeah.
There it is again, right? So
finally got that, got it put together and sent it out, and was so grateful for all the responses. Like, it's been enlightening to hear people's thoughts on how prayer and scripture study are working for them. And just at a really high level, just this level of flexibility that was so new to me, but such a blessing. This came at such a great time. And so I'm excited to talk about what people had to say with you.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're going to probably split this interview into two different interviews. The first one, we're going to talk about prayer today, and then we're going to have a follow-up one. It's going to talk about scripture study and how we get into scripture study. So stay tuned with that. Do you have the questions in front of you, Larissa? The four. Would you just read those off to start out with of what you asked?
So the questions for regarding prayer that I included in the survey were, first, when prayer is going well for you, what does it typically look like? The second question was, for prayer, is there anything you do or think that may be slightly unique from how most people approach it? Third, what about prayer feels difficult for you? And that was all the ones to do with prayer, actually. It was just those three.
Three. Perfect. What were some of your first impressions after reading the answers to these questions?
Yeah, my first impression was a level of, like I said before, a level of flexibility that hadn't really entered my mind before. And things like, a lot of people mentioned having this day-long monologue with God, and that they don't think of prayer as going well per se, that they're looking to just talk with God, that he wants them however they come. Mm-hmm. And I love that thought. A lot of people mentioned that, well, it's funny, there were not one thing works for everybody. People have different things that work for them. Some mentioned that mouthing the words helps, or even saying their prayer out loud is helpful. A lot did mention that shorter prayers or praying throughout the day, the scripture that talks about having a prayer in your heart, visualizing, several people used visualization. Those were some of my takeaways. And then when I started our Come Follow Me study at the beginning of this year in First Nephi, there were a few scriptures that stood out because I had just reviewed these survey responses. And so, boom, right there in 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 5, says that as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord. And I do my scripture study in Spanish, having served a Spanish-speaking mission. Anyways, the way it's translated in Spanish brought to mind walking. And so I pictured Lehi just walking and having this prayer. I was like, oh, well, if Lehi can pray while walking, why can't I? And then another one in 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 7, just a couple verses later, it says, Lehi returned to his house in Jerusalem, and he cast himself upon his bed, being overcome with the Spirit. Verse 8 says, and being thus overcome with the Spirit, he was carried away in a vision. I'm like, huh, that sounds a bit like maybe meditation. And he's laying on his bed of all places. Like,
totally.
I just love this flexibility that was starting to pop out just right there at the beginning of the Book of Mormon. I loved it.
Oh my gosh. I love this so much. And it's true, right? And other times we think about Joseph Smith, he came to himself and he was looking at the sky after his vision. And that was the most intense communion with God.
but he wasn't still like in this nice position on his knees. You know, he's like, let me surrender like all that I have for this experience. And because of your efforts to start to see that this could be more flexible, now we're starting to see that, wait a second, the scriptures have been telling this to us for forever, right? The prophets have been showing us this way. We just hadn't been attuned to that or accepting of that. So I loved how you brought up the fact that it seemed like Lehi was meditating, almost like this meditation. So what further insight did that give you to prayer and ADHD and flexibility?
Yeah, President David O. McKay actually mentioned that meditation is a form of prayer. And he said that he has a quote that he said, "We pay too little attention to the value of meditation, which is a principle of devotion. Meditation is the language of the soul." He goes on to say that it is defined as a form of private devotion or spiritual exercise consisting in deep, continued reflection on some religious theme. He says meditation is a form of prayer, and it is one of the most secret, most sacred doors through which we pass into the presence of the Lord. And I love that. And Pam Blackwell is a meditation expert who teaches at BYU. She says in one of her books that she says, "I think meditation is the major tool to enhancing our connection with our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit." And I love those thoughts about meditation. It's something I hadn't really leaned into, so to speak, early in my life, but I am leaning into it more and more now as I find that my brain craves that calm and that quiet when maybe it's overstimulated or something like that. There's this app that I use called Refill My Soul. It's actually created by a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it's full of meditations on different topics. She incorporates scriptures and quotes from leaders of the church. And it's been a really helpful tool for me to help quiet my brain. I'll often do a meditation just prior to prayer and find that it helps get me in the right frame of mind to quiet my brain. So that's been a helpful tool for me. And it's neat to see it, you know, something that the prophets did even in the scriptures, of just this meditation or pondering is another word that maybe shows up more in the scriptures specifically.
Why do you think that, in addition to, you know, our executive dysfunction, I'm curious if you have any other further thoughts as why meditation might not be the number one thing that comes up for ADHDers?
Well, in my own experience with it, my brain is always going, like, you know, your busy brain saint. That's a huge part of our, at least my experience with ADHD, is my brain is always going. It's always thinking of ideas. And filtering those ideas has become like a massive project for me, and learning what are my filters? How do I determine which ideas get carried through? Like this survey, for example, I sort of sat on it for a bit, because sometimes I get ideas where it's like, nope, that one you can set aside and this one wouldn't go away. It came back.
Persistent.
A persistent idea. And so I think filtering the thoughts that come to our awesome creative brains, for me, like I said, it's been a project, something I'm actively working on.
It's interesting how we think that meditation means it has to be silent, right? And I'm learning, I just did a Apple Fitness meditation, something yesterday, and it was early. My daughter sat on the couch. She woke up early and she just watched me meditate for 20 minutes. It was very cute. She is not one of my ADHDers, so she was very calm on the couch. And it was so great, the promptings that this instructor gave of, you know, if you think of something, just notice it and let it pass on. And, you know, it's good to be noticing the stillness. And so it's not that we have to think about nothing. It's that we're willing to notice what's in front of us. And I receive revelation through clarity of thought. And clarity of thought then feels as the emotion, as confidence in my body. And so what better way than to allow, like you said, like the filtering of all of these thoughts and just being able to sit and notice without having to do anything until maybe we receive that heart and mind kind of syncing up. I'm like, oh, thank you for that. But not with like, oh, I'm going to sit here and meditate and it's going to be amazing and it's going to be hard work and I'm not going to think of anything, like, you know, white knuckling it almost. And I think that maybe if we could just read through a few of these, this was funny, like the contradictions in the answers too. Some people are like, quiet and alone really helps. Other people are like, I want to be on a hike and I want to have other people around me and I need things to keep my attention.
Yeah, I love right? it. I love it. So different.
Yeah. So this dichotomy can really work out. You know, it doesn't have to be one or the other, even through the context of ADHD. The more important thing here is that you know what your body needs. And you did bring up that I do have a downloadable that kind of helps you understand, am I understimulated? Am I overstimulated? And if I'm overstimulated, then what types of activities or things could help me connect with God versus the opposite? And having kind of a menu of ways to pray, of possible approaches to prayer, I could see being really beneficial for a person with ADHD. So that when they've had a particular experience throughout the day, they know what they need to tap into in order to connect with God in the evening or midday or whatever it might be.
It's just this level of coming to know yourself and knowing what you need. And that requires being like present and really aware of your thoughts and feelings and emotions. It's been a great experience. I'm learning more about myself. Been working with an ADHD coach and learning how my brain works. And again, probably my biggest takeaway from ADHD coaching, if I had to summarize it in a sentence, would be I've learned to give myself permission to do things in a way that work for me, period. And applying that, now taking that and applying it to prayer is kind of this thing that I'm thinking about right now, is how does ADHD affect our relationship with God? And how can we give ourselves permission for it to look a little bit different than we maybe have in the past?
Thank you for that connection. That's perfect. I just love it. I think what we'll do is if you're okay with it, if we could put the link for the survey in the show notes, and then if more people want to take that quiz or add their two cents to what their experience is, that can be an open running Google Doc. Do you feel okay about that?
That would be awesome. Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. And then we'll figure out like how we might be able to share these results specifically with you guys, whether that's going to be a downloadable or something like that, because I know that you'll benefit from seeing or a paragraph summary or something like that. But because I know you'll benefit from seeing that as well. Until then, we have this podcast, but I will update this podcast when we do have something specific for you. Who knows? Maybe someday it will be a book. That would be amazing. I think one of the cool things too about prayer that I did want to mention is the visualization piece. And you kind of talked about visions and how praying, like God answering in visions. But oftentimes if we can visualize the prayer, like somebody said, they visualize walking on a beach or picture holding hands with God during a walk on the beach, creating that calm and visualized space. That's a form of meditation. That visualization puts you into a context of, okay, I'm with God. So I don't have to think, okay, what the heck is God and who is he and what's going on and, you know, who's involved in this. I can picture whatever on earth I need in order to help me feel connected. And if that's walking on a beach, holding hands or being at his feet or whatever it is, wonderful. I just love that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think we each have our own different sort of happy place where we want to be with God.
Yeah.
You know, the sand feels messy to me. And so I don't always picture myself on a beach.
Right.
But other things will appeal to me, and each person will have their own visualization that works for them, which just the uniqueness of that is just beautiful. And just a testament to the fact that God's willing to meet us wherever we're at. He's there for it. One thing I just realized we didn't talk about was journals and
yes, please.
survey respondents mentioned using a journal in their prayer, maybe not every time, but when it works. And I myself, that's something that I do. It's not a structured journal. I just give myself permission to write sort of stream of consciousness type of writing, and it helps me organize my thoughts, especially with that lack of working memory with ADHD. Learning is a big deal for me. I like having a journal nearby. I find I'm much more receptive to revelation if I have a journal and pen nearby. And another thing I've seen out there that I haven't quite gotten to myself, but I'm excited to try, is just a prayer chart. And this is not a highly structured grid. It's more just a visual cue to remind my brain, hey, here's some things that you might want to think about in your prayer, just like the well-being of my family and friends, or something related to my calling, or hobbies that I'm looking to pursue, or global events, or things like that that I might want to keep on my mind, or something to do with my children and what they need, and just to kind of offload some of that brain work
totally
onto a piece of paper might help. You know, I may be keeping it in a place where I'm most likely to pray in my home. So.
And I just want to highlight that this sister in front of me has put her vision board in her shower, and that makes me so happy.
I did it after your podcast. I was like, that's such a great idea. I love that. So, yep, there it is.
It is. It's outsourcing our working memory. It's outsourcing our brain to something that is reliable, like a piece of paper with packing tape on it, you know, on the wall or whatever it is, because that's how we learn to develop self-trust when we have a somewhat faulty working memory system in our brain. Okay, there was one other thing that was really interesting, and that was not resisting the distractions. And we kind of talk about this when we talk about meditation, as to like before we're like, oh, I can't think about anything. You're not allowed in here, thoughts, like don't have thoughts. But recognizing like my kids are very loud in the next room, and the sweater is very itchy, and I'm actually very tired. And in fact, I'm really thirsty too. And actually letting those all be true and still being able to pray. Not making that mean that something is wrong or incorrect about the prayer, because we sense all of these things because we have heightened attention to so much around us. But letting that exist and letting ourselves be prayerful and mindful toward our Heavenly Father, that is a huge permission granted to us to think with an ADHD brain that we can only be focusing on one thing at a time is nearly setting us up for utter failure, is an expectation that I would call poisonously positive. It's not going to help us actually get into the work. Through talking with you today, Larissa, I shared with you earlier that my husband and I have a system that we have been able to have for years and years and years. And it's when we finally gave up on having to kneel next to our bed together before we went to sleep in order to pray. When we allowed ourselves to be in bed and lean over and hold each other's hand and take time, maybe even leaning into each other's shoulders or into his arms for me, and having that pause moment and then welcoming God as part of that moment in our prayer, we don't skip nights. We do not do it. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm telling you that it is because it's aligned with what my ADHD brain and body needs. If I'm going to connect with God, I need to not be thinking about the itchiness on my knees. I need to not be thinking about how my feet are falling asleep. When I have opened up that flexibility, now our consistency, our persistence, and our ability to actually fulfill on that goal happens. And so I'm thankful for this conversation, because it has allowed, I'm recognizing that is why it has stuck. That's why it's been a sticky habit.
I love that. That's beautiful. I'm so glad you shared that. It's evidence that these are true principles. It's working for you.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for being here. I mean, we just kind of scratched the surface, but I hope that it's at least helped you listeners feel seen and heard and given permission to just talk with God, be with God. And God wants that. You know, he really does. And as you've illustrated so perfectly, there's plenty of evidence for it in the scriptures and in the prophets. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. And stay tuned for part two when we do the exact same activity, but with the scriptures.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.